The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your garden. Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you died of pursuit.
One day it'll all make sense. We say that about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is March the 4th, 2016. It is one of my brother's birthdays, my youngest brother, Carlton. Happy birthday to you, brother. Spoke to him earlier on the phone, but just wanted to give him a shout out over the air, as he said he would be tuning in, as he regularly does, to Black Talk Radio Network. So greetings to everyone. I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines. And let me, before we get started, give out the telephone numbers that you can share within the next hour, your opinions, any comments on any of the news stories or any new news that is not getting any kind of attention that you think it deserves. You can call in and briefly share those reports with us. But the telephone numbers are 641-715-3660. The participant code for the conference line is 549-032-POUND. Hit star 6 and 1 to signal me, your host, and I'll bring you in. You can also use the web-based flash phone to call in from anywhere in the world, as we do, as this is a international radio station and we have a global audience. So that will save you some money, hopefully, if you are up, depending upon your time zone, and you want to call in and share your perspective from where you're sitting. Let me go ahead and open up the studio line, and the studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030, and that line is open right now. Again, we'll be on the air for the next hour. Before I get to some of the topics, let me just share some network news, as we're again at the beginning of a new month here in 2016. And if you will allow me, I will pull up the station's report that I'm working on, but I do have some final numbers for some of the programming on the network. And of course, the full report goes out to all the donors to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, which manages not only the platform but the radio station Black Talk Radio Network. So let me just find that right quick. Google Drive doesn't seem to alphabetically. Okay, here it is. February 2016. Some of the numbers that we showed at the end of the month, or after a month of broadcasting in February, which of course is a short month, one of the shortest months in the year. And Black Talk Radio News, as we have been off air number of times, we did experience a slight drop in our numbers, but in the month of February, Black Talk Radio News reached about 12,700 unique listeners. new program that recently launched, Blacks in Business Radio, which was on live last night. Check out the podcast on blacktalkradionetwork.com, as it was a very informative show. 3,200 unique listeners. And those are some of the numbers. But overall, numbers are strong. And again, those reports will be coming out along with our social media reach reports in the next couple of days to all the people who help financially keep us on the airwave and keep Black Talk Radio Network online. Not only are you assisting the programming host on this station, but you are assisting the other independent black media stations that are associated or broadcasted through the Black Talk Media Project's digital radio service, and of course distributed through blacktalkradionetwork.com. So expect those in the coming days. Again, want to keep expressing appreciation, because without you, it would not happen. It would not happen. We would not be online. We would not be in the propaganda war to against our enemies, and being able to provide people with objective news reporting, of course, from the black perspective. All right, so some of the topics that I want to discuss. I watched some of the Republican debates last night on Fox News, and there were, you know, lots of interesting things happened. A lot of childishness was on display, of course, people being very unserious about addressing the problems that we see throughout the planet. But John Kasich, the former Ohio governor, did take Hillary Clinton to task for her role in regime change in Libya, leading to it being overrun, of course, by jihadists, some of them calling themselves ISIL, others pretending to be moderates. But these moderates recently protested, and I'm talking about the so-called moderate Islamists that they helped take over the United States, and NATO, of course, being they helped do regime change in Libya. They protested when the United States recently did a bombing run on some of the ISIL bases in Libya. So that, you know, that's the government that the United States, Hillary Clinton, vouched for, put them in charge, John McCain, you know, well, a whole lot of people did that. But John Kasich took her to task last night, and he stated some truth that a lot of people want to ignore, but we have not ignored on this particular program or some of the other programs that focus on people activity area number 6, which of course is politics, which of course impacts every other area of people activity. Another story here, Hillary Clinton's alleged feminism is being put to question after 7 years after, as Secretary of State again for the Obama administration, she supported a coup, to overthrow a democratically elected president in Honduras. And so some of the feminist activist groups have been speaking out, and there's an article on Teleserve that talks about how violence against women since this violence against women and other crime has dramatically risen. And so, you know, they're questioning, you know, these are paternalistic, I think is the term they use, paternalistic activities that the United States government has engaged in. And Hillary Clinton, as a member of the U.S. government at that time, Secretary of State, signed on to. So, you know, they're questioning, you know, how much she really cares about women and or children, given the things she has done. And, you know, I kind of like to think that I'm informed more than most about what's going on the planet. But it was news to me that the United States and Honduras had, had overthrown the president and backed the coup. So I'm still kind of, you know, lacking some of the details of that, but that happened that was 1 year into President Obama, CEO of USA's first year in his first term. and that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. So she, at the as running point at the Secretary of State, has engaged in and endorsed at least two countries we know practice what has been attributed only to neoconservatives like Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, all of them. That crowd, the Rush Limbaughs that, you know, want to overthrow governments and whatnot. But people want to subscribe that just to conservatives. But you have these neoliberals like Clinton and apparently President Obama as well, where they're engaging in the very same thing. See, because Obama isn't a progressive and neither is Hillary Clinton. And so for her to even be, you know, letting the word progressive come out of her mouth and painting herself and proclaiming herself to be a progressive when the record shows that she is a neoliberal, a middle of the road politician who typically leans right on issues of law enforcement, on issues of welfare, on issues of foreign policies. She's right winger. And, you know, but the balance is on the left, you know, where they do claim they're progressives is like supporting same-sex marriage, which she was against until it became, you know, politically acceptable to then, you know, mainstream to endorse same-sex marriage. But prior to that, she had been anti-same-sex marriage. She's like a chameleon. She changes with the polls each campaign season. She's saying something different, whatever the polls show that is popular among the people, which shows that she is not an authentic person and that she's very adept at deception. All right. So definitely want to talk about that, because in that Telesur article, it also mentioned the disproportionate violence towards black women and black people in Honduras as a result of the U.S.-backed coup and ouster of the democratically elected president in 2009, all right? Which then I want to segue, after I share that story with you, into segue here to the United States with black feminists, primarily sorority sisters, and they are dubbing Hillary Clinton as a quote-unquote sister. You know, in the aspect of the slang that black people use to refer to themselves and have for quite some time, number of decades, referred to people within the black family as brothers and sisters. And so these black women, sorority sisters, are dubbing Hillary Clinton a sister, much in the same way that her husband, former President Bill Clinton, was referred to as a brother, or he feels our pain and you know, he gets us. You know, cool southern white boy by black people in the 1990s, simply because he got up on Arsenio Hall and donned some Ray-Ban glasses and played a saxophone for about a minute or less. And now, oh, he's cool. He's black. He gets the black vote, you know. And it was, you know, it was more complicated than that, because you had black people like you have now selling Clinton, Bill Clinton, to black voters as the same way black politicians and others are telling black voters to support Hillary Clinton's campaign. So, you know, that's just, what are your thoughts? You know, is this, in my opinion, it's a clear act of proxy racism, but, you know, I don't claim to know everything. What are some of your thoughts on this? I think it's very embarrassing. And, you know, it's just a shame that with a person like Hillary Clinton and her record that, you know, these exit polls are showing 70-80% of black voters, primarily women, are supporting this woman who I have no problem with calling a monster, a international war criminal. That's what the record shows. All right, so want to take a look at that story. And again, if it was not for the black voting bloc, Hillary Clinton's campaign would be done, all right, because she would just be sitting around waiting to see whether or not she's going to get indicted, along with others, possibly others like her husband, her aides, who have now working for a campaign, either directly or as surrogates in the mainstream media, also work for her at the Clinton Foundation, which was started by Bill Clinton. And it's showing that, you know, the Clintons may have used the donors who gave to the Clinton Foundation and awarded them with government contracts through the State Department, awarded their corporations, you know, that's graft. That's illegal. So this is a deepening email scandal. It is not as simplistic as their talking points would have you believe in that. Oh, they were classified. They weren't marked classified. And so it doesn't matter and blah, blah, blah. You know, come on now. You ought to know when you got undercover agents out there in the field and you're discussing them in an email that you don't send that to through an unsecured server. You don't do that. I mean, that's just common freaking sense. And it's not a matter of, you know, did somebody mark an email as Secretary of State, as the head of that department, as taking classes and the one in charge and has the responsibility to make sure all the staff adhere to the rules in handling sensitive documents. The bug stops at her desk. And, you know, you could even push it further to push it up the chain further to the president's desk, as you know, that is the executive branch. And perhaps that's why she departed. When did she only stayed, what, 4 years at the State Department? Perhaps, you know, she was forced out, or it could have been a calculated move for her to gear up to run for president and start, you know, going out there and, I would say, brainwashing and, you know, turning into a chameleon. And now she's all pro Black Lives Matter and this and that, while still disrespecting young Black protesters who ask her questions out there on the campaign trail. So, but anyway, it's deepening. The email scandal was deepening because the State Department staffer who moonlighted as Clinton's personal homebrew email server has been granted, this guy's been granted immunity from prosecution by the FBI. That is a very significant step. He was granted this immunity in exchange for answering questions about what directives he was given directly by the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And last but not least, I wanted to include this story. The U.S. government, and it's not a matter of my opinion, it's a matter of common sense, but the U.S. government, the states that are a part of the union called USA Inc., and national law enforcement, whether it's federal law enforcement, whether it's state law enforcement, whether it's county law enforcement to the city cop, they continue to protect homegrown terrorists while prosecuting those who express only verbal support for so-called ISIL. Throughout the years, I have seen a number of cases where people on Facebook have that ISIL flag, that Black flag with the Arabic writing on it as their Facebook profiles and whatnot, and, you know, expressing pro-ISIL, like I want to join them and, you know, things like that, or they have a point here or point there, you know, expressing pro-talking points for that group, which has been dubbed, you know, a terrorist group. These people are getting prosecuted. These people are getting arrested. But not so when it comes to white supremacist terrorists, whether they belong to an organization like a neo-Nazi, Ku Klux Klan chapters, whatever. You know, a lot of these terrorist cells operate independently of each other. And, you know, they might just incorporate as a small nonprofit or what have you in individual states. But make no mistake, they do communicate with each other. These are terrorists. Networks, and they you know, are afforded First Amendment speech rights. They are allowed to, even again, you know, that state sanction when you can get a document from the U.S. government, just like the Black Talk Media Project, you know, registered as a nonprofit in the state of North Carolina. Well, some of the Ku Klux Klan group that staged the demonstration right before they pulled down the Confederate flag, pro-Confederate flag rally, they were from North Carolina as well, with a nonprofit status up near the Virginia border. I'm more closer to the South Carolina border here in North Carolina. But they were granted a permit by the state of of South Carolina to express their hateful, racist, terroristic viewpoints and whatnot. Now, you imagine in the first place, anybody coming together, having weekly meetings or what have you, and got a Facebook page or whatever, and they're using the ICO black flag as their symbol and whatnot. And you know, they're meeting with other Muslims and talking about, you know, they like what ISIL's doing in Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and all, you know. Look, they are going to be treated as terrorists. They're going to be arrested. Nobody's going to be making a case for their First Amendment rights. I haven't seen the ACLU step up and take a case for any of those defendants and say, hey, they were just expressing their First Amendment rights, and it's wrong for the federal government to charge them with providing material support to a terrorist organization, you know, and you know, with their speech on social media. Nobody's making that argument, but they're making that argument when it comes to neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klans, white knights, whatever you want to call these people, the David Dukes of the world. Instead of being called terrorists and for what they are, they want to act like that's a, you know, oh, these are just white people with racist views, and you know, they are not harming anyone with their passive-aggressive expressions of verbal terrorism and their symbolism and all of that, and having their demonstrations going into non-white communities and holding demonstrations, again, getting permits to have these demonstrations, which are really nothing but the promotion of terrorism, the oldest domestic terrorism organization in the United States. So I just want to share that story because now, you had in Anaheim, California, you had these terrorists who had gotten a permit to do a demonstration. And then you had these men, a multiracial band of men who are being described as fans of heavy metal music. And they're out there fighting the Ku Klux Klan and at least three of the heavy metal anti-racist out there fighting the white supremacist terrorists got stabbed by the white supremacist terrorists. And wouldn't you know, the police said that the white supremacist terrorist was acting in self-defense. And guess who's been arrested? Guess who's in jail? Guess who's facing assault charges and whatnot? So terrorism organizations based on white supremacy are indeed have protected status here in the United States. That is what the evidence says. Nobody can tell me anything to the contrary. And that is why people have no faith in any of these government institutions and whatnot, because we are not dumb, and we see the glaring contradictions. And then, you know, it just seems more and more of us are starting to say, we don't care what the U.S. government, the state governments, the county governments, y'all can try to protect these terrorists all you want to, but we're going to act like you, you know, and we're going to use violence to meet these violent terrorists. So, those are some of the things I like to throw out there on the table. We got, about 35 minutes left in the broadcast, so I'm going to try to be quick and hit these stories, but please don't hesitate to call in and share your views on any of these news items. So I'm going to take an early station identification break, come back, and jump on that first story with John Kasich calling Hillary Clinton out, as well as the Obama administration, although he didn't mention Obama's name. That's who she was working for. She a part of that administration, but called her out for being responsible for the establishment of terrorist bases in Libya and lying on Gaddafi. And I mean, his candor was quite surprising to me in stating that, you know, Muammar Gaddafi in Libya was an ally. I think he's the first one to acknowledge that, ally of the United States against jihadi terrorism in Africa, and that, you know, he was keeping them from attacking people in Egypt because they, you know, bombed that plane, attacking, flooding into Europe and all of that. So he was first one I've seen really go hard. I mean, go tell the truth about Gaddafi. because Hillary Clinton and most other Republican candidates say he was a monster or a brutal dictator and so and so, and they just keep repeating the lies. And the article that I'm a link to, you have to be careful, because that MSNBC article that's quoting, giving you the quotes on what John Kasich said last night, they're still interjecting their own spin and reporting the same lies that was used to sell the public, the general public, on backing so-called intervention, humanitarian intervention in Libya. Because Gaddafi was going to kill the quote-unquote Libyan people. No, that is not true. He was about to confront them jihadi terrorists in Benghazi that was concentrated in Benghazi, who had been attacking police and attacking just regular Libyan civilians, attacking African migrant workers. And, I tell you, man, the mainstream media assists the U.S. government in lying to the public, and to me, they are part and parcel of the conspiracy in these illegal regime changes, in these crimes against humanity that results in mass death and destruction. So that'll be the first thing we'll talk about on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and indeed, I am broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
What is racial showcasing? That means taking huge numbers of black people and putting them out front. There's going to be more of this all over the planet. Many, many millions of black people that you will see who will be rolling in money. They'll be able to showcase the places where they live. They'll be able to showcase their knowledge and expertise. So you have television now, you have all of the mediums for doing this, for showcasing huge numbers of black people. I will say it will eventually run into the millions, so many that you won't be able to count them. Now, what is this for? This is for any black person that starts talking about racism in the future is going to be laughed at, because they're going to be able to showcase so many black people who are what you call quote unquote successful, that it will seem that racism has been put out of business. But white supremacy is a world business, and like any other business, it works on profits and losses, which means percentages. You go into business, you expect a certain amount of loss. If you're in the grocery business, well, you might have a load of asparagus that is full. But overall, you will make more profits than you have losses if you're going to stay in the business. Now, so the white supremacists know that the cost of doing the business of white supremacy is going up. They can no longer get away with Joe Lewis and Lena Horne like they did years ago. They have to have many, many, many more black people who are going to be showcased. I made up this term just to explain it. You have to make up terms, because they won't make them up for you. So now that's the first phase, or one of the first elements in the maximum confusion. And so that black people won't be able to say, they'll say, well, you know, it must be something wrong with me that I'm down and out and don't have a biscuit to eat, because there are so many millions of black people who have so much, so it can't be a race. But see, for the 4 or 5 million black people who will be showcased, there will be hundreds of millions worldwide who won't have a biscuit. That's the way the business operates in the future, and will be. That's the way it seems to be going, according to what? The evidence. According to the logic.
Don't. Right, here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang! What you look
searching for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the rope lower level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Flint Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist, preach to teach the
officer. Cause they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yeah.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is Scotty Reed, and on this broadcast, first story that I want to jump to, if I can get back to it, because it seems I may have a link to, I'll tell you, MSNBC isn't throwing me straight to the article, but I know how to get to it a different way. All right. So on the, last night during the Republican debate, during the GOP debate, you know, besides the foolishness that was going on about Donald Trump's hands and what have you, and in references to his penis, like Gus posted on the host of the Context of White Supremacy on Facebook, that there was a significant Welsing moment. But beside all of that foolishness, John Kasich talked about, and he's repeated this several times in interviews throughout his campaign and in prior debates. Hillary Clinton, they were going after her. In the Democratic debate, when you had O'Malley, Webb, and the others that were still in it, and people are saying Bernie Sanders needs to go after her more on Libya as well. But this came up last night as a question about the rise of so-called ISIL inside of Libya, and that was the question that was asked by one of the moderators of the Fox News debate. And so Ohio Governor John Kasich, and this took place in Michigan, that Hillary Clinton was to blame for all those terrorists in those bases in Libya. And I'm going to read this from this article written by Jamie Novogratz, I believe, and I'm not sure if that's a man or a woman. But anyway, this person published the quote from John Kasich in their article. Hillary Clinton worked aggressively to depose Muammar Gaddafi, Kasich said during the Fox News Republican debate in Detroit, referring to Clinton's time as Secretary of State under President Obama. They pushed him out, Kasich said, of the Libyan leader. Now we have a fertile ground for ISIS. And this writer goes on to jump into some other spin and whatnot. He or she does write, should Clinton become the Democratic nominee, she will likely face questions about how to address the ISIS presence inside a country she helped to shake up. Libya is Clinton's personal problem in a way that Iraq and Syria, where the American campaign is currently focused, are not her problem. But, you know, it is her problem, much in the same as her vote for Iraq. Those are my comments. You know, she has been, Sanders has, you know, and others talked about her wrong vote on the war on Iraq. Non-existent weapons of mass destruction, and you just wanted to do regime change to protect the American petrodollar. Same thing with Hillary and Libya and President Obama. But Hillary Clinton was really leading the charge on this. Obama, for whatever reason, decided to capitulate and abdicate his responsibilities as commander-in-chief in these sort of matters to Hillary Clinton, and she certainly claimed the Libyan campaign as her own. We have her on video laughing at getting the news of the brutal murder by a gang of jihadis of Muammar Gaddafi, the prime minister who she publicly called for his capture or killing, which is against U.S. law. We have that video. So she has to own that. She has to own that. And, you know, she gave the little quote, a variation of a quote of one of the white supremacist Roman Caesars, and talking about we came, we saw, and he died, and started laughing like a cartoon witch straight out of a Disney film or something. You know, so, but anyway, Kasich, let me see if this guy in this article, because I could not find a video of Kasich's comments, but I will find it and record it and put out a campaign ad against Hillary Clinton through Black Talk Radio Network, where he said that Gaddafi was working with the United States in confronting these terrorists. So let me jump to this other article. So, you know, I think that is pertinent to the story, and they just kind of, this writer, you have to be very suspicious of writers. And as a writer, I have no problem telling you and admitting to you that I write, I have an agenda, I engage in propaganda, but I do not engage in lies and whatnot. Any writer that says they don't, I'm talking about a political writer or so, anybody that say they don't, you know, they're lying to you. And these are mainstream writers, and certain platforms have a particular bent, just like Black Talk Radio. That's just the reality of the matter. So, you know, when the way I approach it, when I'm reading our enemies' articles, and when I say enemy, I'm talking about the enemy's platforms, corporations that have shown a willingness to promote U.S. propaganda, to engage in geopolitical militarism, and make moves like that and lie to the public to get the public to get behind it. So when I read their articles, I'm keeping that in mind. I'm reading the enemy's propaganda. Because in this article, before I get to John Kasich's other comments, I might have a video on him on a prior interview back in February. But this person, this writer, this propagandist for the fourth wing of USA Inc. Talks about Libya, promotes the same lies, talking about Gaddafi was attacking the Libyan people. No, they were not. The White House and NATO and all of them were not intervening in order to protect the Libyan people. The Libyan people supported Gaddafi in the liberal Libyan government, considering the vast social policies. Yes, he operated as a socialist. It was a secular socialist. You can call it a dictatorship or a royal family, but hell, we see that going on in so-called Western nations, royal families and whatnot, you know. But they were not protecting the Libyan people. He was going to crack down on the jihadists in Benghazi, all right, who took advantage of the Arab Spring, where we saw, you know, other populations, large numbers of people in other Arab countries take to the streets and whatnot. So these Arab jihadis, you know, use that as cover to pretend like in the U.S. State Department helps sell those lies. The murdered ambassador, Christopher Stevens, that was his role. He helped tell those lies, you know. But when you make deals with devil, and Gaddafi certainly made a deal with the devil when he became an ally of the United States and trusting them and whatnot. But then, you know, the U.S. State Department want to get in bed with element of Arab Islamic groups that they know are terrorists and jihadis, and want to tell us that they're moderates and whatnot. Well, you know, when you're working with people like that, you know, you liable, it has this risk and you get killed, you know. And, you know, again, as I've stated in the past, you reap what you sow. Before Christopher Stevens was killed, the ambassador, he took a picture smiling over the dead body of Gaddafi, giving a thumbs up, only to be killed later by more radical elements of the people that he was working with to murder Gaddafi. So, you know, in this article, they want to tell these lies. And then NATO, the U.S. government, stood to the side while these very same Arab militias. And you got the video of Gaddafi being brutally murdered, sodomized. That's a war crime That's even mentioned in Hillary Clinton's emails that was released in a batch of emails the judge forced the State Department to make public, where she's being informed of these Arab militias engaging in war crimes. And yet none of them have been prosecuted. The United States hasn't praised the case. They did nothing. They stood by while all the African people, whether they were Libyans, dark-skinned Libyans, melanated-skinned Libyans, or whether they were migrant workers coming from neighboring African countries like Somalia, destabilized regions because of white supremacy, and they was going to Libya because Gaddafi was providing them with jobs, transforming the Libyan desert into an oasis. And they said it couldn't be done, but he was doing great engineering feats and bringing water to the dry desert and turning it into farmland and what have you. They did nothing. The Obama administration, that is, Hillary Clinton, lied. Susan Rice lied, just like Iraq, all over again. So, so far, John Kasich has been hitting her the hardest on that of the various candidates who have brought it up. Let me see if I can play this clip from Real Clear Politics from an interview.
When a team in search of a new home
that Kasich
turns to
gave
from Goldman Sachs,
give me just a second.
A major construction
we may have
project
to let this ad run to get
fans
to
take their seats.
The video.
The city of Santa Clara makes progress.
Goldman Sachs. That was a Goldman Sachs ad. Give me just a second.
You said you didn't think we should have gone into Iraq if there weren't any weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
But you also said we should not get embroiled in civil wars overseas.
That's right.
Well, we've done it before.
Correct.
We did it with Bosnia. Was that the right call?
We did it with Lebanon.
And we did it with Lebanon.
Chuck, we did it. Then let me tell you. You know how I voted on Lebanon? Yeah. Well, Libya was a terrible mistake. You know, frankly, that's something that people ought to be thinking about in regard to Hillary. You know, they talk about Benghazi, which is very legitimate. Of course it is. But we should never have deposed Gaddafi. That was a terrible mistake. The guy was working with us, and now we've created chaos in that country. Look, I was not in favor of U.S. troops in Lebanon, and I voted against it, even when Reagan wanted them there.
Right.
Tip O'Neill wanted them there. Then when they got blown up, Tip was out blaming Reagan, and I'll never forget it. Civil wars never – getting in between since the 6th century, Sunni and Shia have been fighting,
right.
And we want to get in the
so
middle of that?
So you'd stay out of Syria?
It makes no sense.
You'd stay out of Syria?
I would only go to Syria to destroy ISIS. I would not use U.S. troops to depose Assad, but I would support the rebels there. It's okay to support those people who share your view, but for the United States to be embroiled in a civil war in Syria against Assad, I think is a big mistake.
You know, you have also been critical of how the surplus that you, as a Republican budget leader, and working with the Clinton administration, you guys, Ford.
All right, I want to leave it there, but like I said, I'll find that clip and we'll distribute it later through our social media accounts and YouTube channel. But last night, John Kasich again told the truth that Gaddafi had agreed to stop seeking nuclear weapons. They're having a similar dispute in the 80s, the same as the U.S. and Obama administration has had with Iran in regard to it asserting its right as a sovereign nation to pursue nuclear energy. And, you know, regardless of allegations of nuclear weapons or whatnot, you know, the United States and other white supremacist powers also have nuclear weapons, and they ain't destroying them or giving them up. And so other countries could argue they need them for protection from these nuclear powers. But that's neither here nor there. Gaddafi agreed to not pursue nuclear power and any nuclear weapons, didn't use any chemical weapons, gave up those stockpiles, you know, they probably, just like Saddam, got from the United States government. But anyway, you know, he got on a path to peace and working with the people who was trying to destroy the nation from outside. So sometimes, I guess, you know, as a world leader, you do have to make compromises in order to survive. But ultimately, it led to the betrayal. It led to betrayal with Hillary Clinton running point, calling for the assassination of a head of state and what have you. And now look at the country. And that's simply what John Kasich was hinting on last night. All right. Let me see, what is the next story? And let me get logged back into our conference line. Got logged out. Again, if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to ask a question or make a comment. If you have some information contrary to that which what I'm reporting to you, you know, don't, hey, I do enough research and can point you to many different references or sources to back up, you know, these things that I say. And if I don't have the details, I have no problem with admitting to you I need to look more into something. But on the surface, this is what it seems. Now, speaking of regime changes, when we come back on the other side of this break, Hillary Clinton's alleged feminism and her proclamations to claim to care about women and women issues and supporting women all over the world through the Clinton Foundation. But as Secretary of State, she supported a coup to overthrow a democratically elected official, the president of Honduras. And then later also, when the people rose up to try to get him reinstated at the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton opposed that, opposed his reinstatement, even though he was democratically elected. So forget all this stuff about supporting people who share our views and values. The number of people in the U.S. government have no values, and their views are particularly troubling to conscious people. So we'll talk about that in an article coming from Telesur Reports when we come back on the other side of this brief break. Again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and we'll be right back.
Our people are very serious about not being very serious.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power, are enemies against black people. Now, what the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
Prophet. The dictionary defines this as one who delivers divine messages or who foretells the future. Rage, a useful and necessary tool for revolution. Put these two together and you'll find a common theme for a group whose global message has proven them to be the prophets of rage. For PETV, this was Ty Raid.
You're quite hostile.
I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted.
With spikes, I hold the mic to fight. With force, I keep it away, of course. And I'm keeping you from sleeping. And on the stage, I rage and I'm rolling. To the floor, I pour in on my metaphors. And I'm bluffing, it's nothing that we ain't did before. We played the stage, the points made, you consider it. Done by the prophets of rage.
The people say,
yo, Flip, you're next one step to get to the east side. We got to get to the east side.
I roll with the punches, so I survive.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting right here on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, providing you with independent black voices, unfiltered, uncensored, and most definitely not dependent on white people's power through the white people's press. I ain't worried about trying to keep a job with the corporate media. Therefore, I'm going to engage in, you know, deception and help them with their propaganda operations. None of that is going on through the Black Talk Radio Network. So let's jump to this next story coming to you from Telesur. Telesur is a Pan-Latin American Terrestrial and Satellite Television Network, which is headquartered in Caracas, Venezuela. All right, and it was launched with the objective of providing information to promote the integration of Latin America. All right, so this article comes to you, that is the source of this particular article, where feminists in Honduras are saying that the U.S. State Department backed a military coup in 2009 when Hillary Clinton was there, and they are questioning her so-called feminism or her solidarity with women. U.S. Democratic presidential party hopeful, U.S. Democratic Party presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton has built her campaign around her self-proclaimed dedication to fighting for women's rights, as well as her superior experience in the realm of foreign policy. Many feminists, however, dispute that. And the women on the receiving end of her foreign policy, in particular Latin America, are even less likely to see the former Secretary of State as a champion of their rights. For Honduran feminist artist Melissa Cardoza, Clinton's policy in Central America has shown her true colors as an instrument of empire, representing patriarchal, not feminist, ideology. As is well known, she supported the coup d'etat in my country, which has sunk a very worthy and bleeding land further into abject poverty, violence, and militarism, Cardoza said of Clinton's legacy in Honduras. She is part of those who consider only some lies to be legitimate, obviously not rebel women and women of color that live here and who do not, at least not at all, fit in with imperial interests. Cardoza added that so-called feminists calling on women to support Clinton should be warned against voting solely on the basis of identity politics and made aware of the neoliberal lining of Clinton's agenda. Sure, Cardoza says, there is a very neoliberal feminism, although that formula seems unthinkable to me. But it's those who think they can humanize the most violent way of heinous criminal ecocidal capitalism, she said. In Honduras, women suffer widespread gender violence amid a broader crisis of human rights fueled by ever-increasing militarization and impunity since the U.S.-backed 2009 coup that ousted democratically elected President Manuel Zelaya under then-Secretary of State Clinton. The U.S. State Department aided the coup by also blocking Zelaya from returning to power after he was ousted. So it's just more of the same. Again, as many people, many independent journalists and political commentators will tell you, there's not much difference daylight between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, or a Republican and a Democrat, or a conservative and a liberal when it comes to matters of non-white people globally, which of course are addressed through U.S. foreign policy. And a particular interest should be to the black voters who may have been made aware of, may not have been made aware of, because, you know, I had to educate my aunt last night. She asked me about Hillary Clinton, and I gave her a little 10-minute rundown of some of her most heinous crimes. And my aunt said that she had never hadn't heard of these things and whatnot, and she was glad that I told her. And whatnot. So a lot of people, I'm not going to excuse any political, like the Congressional Black Caucus politicians, sitting U.S. representatives and senators. They know about these things because they're in the government. And indeed, you probably check the record, you will see that they supported the regime change as well. And as many articles have suggested over the past few days, the so-called quote unquote consciousness of the Congressional Black Caucus is being called into question just as much as Hillary Clinton's feminism is being called into question. But the record shows that they do not, people like Clinton do not have a problem with mistreating non-white people, primarily black people. And so, you know, if it ain't enough for you to know the great harm that the Clintons tag team and tag team the black community as a power couple in politics to increase mass incarceration legislation, funnel money from the welfare programs to the private prison programs and building prisons. If that ain't enough to prevent you from supporting that woman, then perhaps you know, Libya, seeing what she did in Libya, which resulted in the mass murder of dark-skinned Libyans, melanated Libyans, and African migrant workers, and just, you know, murdering a man who was an ally of the United States government. If that ain't enough, then perhaps, what is it? Honduras and her engineering coups and whatnot down there that has led to the undemocratic fascist overthrow of a democratically elected government. So, you know, again, you have to question people. Is it because of a lack of this information about such a criminal, such a horrible human being? You know, and I'm being kind in my words pertaining to Hillary Clinton. I'm being very, very kind and civil and whatnot. But she is, to say the least, a very horrible person who, again, is facing indictment. And so, you know, what about that? You know, people want to talk. Somebody asked me on Facebook the other day through our Black Talk Radio Network page, asked us to host a program talking about the electability of Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton. And he revealed himself to be a Hillary Clinton supporter, someone who either voted for her already or trying to convince others to support her in the primaries over Bernie Sanders. And, you know, I told him, you know, the article was like asking a question about if electability is an issue with black voters. Are they considering the electability of these candidates? And I replied to him and I was like, you know, I really ain't got to do a program on that, but I'll break it down simply for you. And the majority of black voters, in addition to the majority of voters of every demographic, are not that sophisticated to even be, you know, to even try to use electability, that word, in the context of their voting habits, in the context of you know, their voting strategies. When we hear people that just simply say she's a woman and it's time for a woman, as the feminist down activist down there in Honduras pointed out, identity politics. And they're not doing any real research and whatnot, because how could you even raise that question when this candidate in particular, Hillary Clinton, is facing a criminal investigation right now? Which is a segue to the next story. You know, how can you talk about a person like that being electable? Look, they have elected plenty of criminals, and yeah, George Bush was selected. You know, I do want to use that to point out right now, it is important to get involved in your local elections in the process of, you know, being poll volunteers and whatnot, volunteering to count the ballots and be involved in that process. We have to be involved in that as black people on every level, on every level. Do they steal elections and whatnot? Yes, George Bush stole an election through diebold voting machines, flipping votes in several key states. But other states have addressed that. And now I'm getting off into something else, a national. Perhaps we need a national, especially if it's involving federal offices, a nationalized voting system where everybody using the same system. You know, they could use the one like they got in Venezuela, where it goes by your thumbprint for your identity. You scans your thumb. They already got your thumbprint in a database and whatnot. And then it scans your thumb and it gives you a printout of your vote. So you check right then and there, did it vote like how you wanted to, you know. So Jimmy Carter said that was some of the most secure voting process in the world is in Venezuela and whatnot. So I just wanted to make that point. You know, yes, they do steal elections, but that's because people allow them to, or they conspire to help them to do these things, like these black politicians conspiring to help Hillary Clinton win the nomination. you know. So, you know, just wanted to put that out there, I guess, as a public service announcement. But how are you going to ask me the question about the electability of a candidate who is currently being investigated by the FBI? And it's not just about some unclassified or classified documents and did he have that in the email header and you know, all of that nonsense. It's also about the crimes that these emails reveal. There's a reason that they redacting a lot of this stuff. People at the FBI, we can't see it, but people at the FBI with security clearance can see it. And now they've offered her homebrew email server guru immunity. And what criminalities is he going to reveal? So you want to talk about electability, whether or not America would elect somebody who calls themselves a democratic socialist or whatnot, you know, want to play those sort of mind games and word games and whatnot. You're talking about a woman who has engaged in mass murder, either as first lady, as an extension of her husband and his administration. She was not just going around trying to get kids to eat healthy and exercise and move like Michelle Obama, or just taking up veteran issues. No, Hillary Clinton was like a unelected representative who went around the nation and to Congress and through the media, advocated for these policies. She was never no ordinary first lady. Never. So now she may be looking at being indicted. But before I get to that, let's also talk about these black women calling Hillary Clinton a sister, referring to her as a sister. What is up with all of this clowning? It's just clowning. Or in the very least, it just shows the mindset of some of our people being childlike and taken in and easily bamboozled by words and images of this woman. You know, what prompted this one black woman to call her a sister or something? Does she talk slang off camera or something behind the scenes and that make y'all feel like, oh, she keeping it real, she a homegirl or whatnot, you know? Or because you identifying with her, cause she a woman, or because she was in a sorority when she was in college and she didn't reach out to the black sororities. And from Jump Street, y'all been helping her spread her false propaganda to other black people. I mean, that's just crazy. Anyway, I want to talk about that on the other side. I guess I'm going to go over an hour. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines. If you have anything to share, do give us a call. The studio line 704-951-5030. Really, man, explain this to me. Are people insane or just terribly brainwashed and misinformed? Because Malcolm X did say that the power of the media was such that they could make a criminal look innocent and an innocent person look like a criminal. So that must be what it is with the majority of our people. All right, we will be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
They just hope that he'll never wake up because they never want to meet him on the battlefield.
What is your opinion?
See, America, in terms of where she goes and, you know, like who she controls, the whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable and that, you know, like General Steele, our USS Steele, must make steel for tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
Don't challenge them. Don't challenge them.
Now let's put it all in perspective before the outrage burns out misdirected. What can we do so our community protected? I believe that should be our main objective. While we full of rage and we want to make a difference, let's do more than protest. Let's make a commitment to be proactive, not just emotional reactive. Move like G, never passive. Organize, state teams, martial arts classes. Get to the gun range and make your aim active. Self-defense is a must by any tactic. Security protocol, make it a daily practice. They say I look suspicious, I get it all the time. Pro black face tatted when they drop dimes. Follow me, get on your jack, tell them to come get me. You better get your gun, you be the judge, jury. Yeah. We gotta make better war moves. Police the pigs, polish our own tools. We gotta fight back, become a force to be reckoned. Let them feel the consequence, pulling that weapon. They do what they wanna do, who they think they can.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. This is an article that comes to you from thinkprogress.org. Article that was posted by Emily Atkin, and she reports that in a small classroom at Texas Southern University on Sunday, Hillary Clinton's campaign gathered about 100 mostly African-American women to talk about how to generate excitement for the first female president. Look at that word projection right there. The plant in your mind that she is the president, man. I tell you, man, propaganda is everywhere. The mind warfare is everywhere. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat out of Texas, the guest of honor, mused on what she believed to be Clinton's best qualities. She's a thinker, and she has a plan, Lee said. Some call her a policy wonk, but I will tell you, she is a sister. Now I'm going to stop right there. I don't need to debate the qualities of Hillary Clinton, because for over an hour I have been mostly talking about her on today's program. For the past month or so, I don't know, whenever she's in the news about doing something terrible or whatnot, I'm reporting on it through Black Talk Radio News. We discuss it on New Abolitionist Radio with her connections to the private prison slavery. So in slavery industry, but you know, that's just ridiculous. And we're falling for little words like that. She's smart. She's intelligent. Oh, she's a woman. She's even a sister. You know, come on now. And they're bamboozling us with stuff like that. And it's very embarrassing. And I was accused of being a racist against black people for just simply speaking my mind and stating it like it is. And if it seems to me the majority, not all, of these black voters and these black people that are supporting Hillary Clinton's campaign are seeing childlike to me and not taking politics serious as they should be talking about serious. And they're coming at me talking about some electability. And you're talking about a international war criminal. And the evidence is there. And we're falling for, oh, she's intelligent. She has experience. Certainly she has experience in harming people, particularly black people. 30 years plus of experience in helping to pass legislation and giving speeches and trying to influence policy, whether outside of government or within it. As the Secretary of State, her record clearly shows she's a criminal. And she's under criminal investigation. You want to try to bamboozle black people with words like electability? Americans would never elect a person calling themselves a socialist, but they would elect a war criminal. They would elect a white supremacist who has close ties to the very industries that are targeting us for 21st century slavery and human trafficking, who is engaged in the same stuff that George Bush and other neocons have engaged in regime change and destroyed Libya and destroyed Honduras, where many black non-white people have been harmed by this woman. Talking about that experience, and it's just simply embarrassing, but it's understandable from the standpoint of mass media my studies into mass media and the power of propaganda. And that is why, you know, the grassroots political revolution that I'm hearing people talk about and movements sprout up and whatnot, that is got to be on top five priority is a voter education campaign. Because, you know, this has to be ignorance, but some of it is just willful ignorance. And all of these exit polls are showing up and down, whether it's young black people to old black people, in overwhelming numbers, they have disproportionately been voting for such a woman. And now you're calling her a sister? Why? Did she give you a good recipe for Southern fried chicken or something? Why is she a sister? What? She know how to do the nay-nay? Do she got some Sade on her iPod or something? What? What make her your sister? This woman, and it's just, it's ridiculous that the leadership of these organizations at these sororities, these elected black officials who know these things that I'm talking about, it's no secret. It's been written about by many of people and published in many of publications. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But it's treatable. It, you know, we don't have to give up on them. We just have to plan for the future so we don't be acting just like Trump voters and Republican voters in general, especially poor. You know, if I'm a rich, wealthy white man, it makes sense for me to support the Republican Party. It really does. It makes sense in certain elements in the Democratic Party, like Hillary Clinton. So if I'm a wealthy, but, you know, talking about the right wingers and whatnot, if I'm a wealthy white man, it makes sense for me to be down with the Republican Party. But if I'm a poor white person that live in a trailer park that just got laid off from a manufacturing job, and now there are no jobs in these rural areas or whatnot, except for McDonald's or a retail job. And then you got thousands, tens of thousands of people competing for, you know, service sector jobs and whatnot. And the standard of living is going down, and they need welfare like food assistance through the SNAP program and assistance living in, you know, Section 8 housing. Yeah, they got Section 8 for trailers where I live. In North Carolina, in the rural area, they get Section 8. It do apply to trailers, you know, trailer, mobile homes, whatever you want to call them. We got trailer parks up here, and those people will vote Republican, even though the Republicans will are making it no secret that they want to eliminate the food assistance to the people that's on it. But all it seems is they just got to put a black face and say it's all the niggas that's on the welfare and stuff. And those people will forget that they got an EBT card right there in their wallet or in their purses. And no, they just left the grocery store and putting food, dinner, cooking dinner based off of food that, assistance that they got, that they needed. And they will vote for politicians and platforms to take food sustenance from their own children's mouths and their mouths. I'm seeing black voters in that same light. Come on, let's keep it real. Black voters would point at those people and say, oh, they're just so ignorant, they vote against their own interests. Well, what are you doing with your support, your predominant, your overwhelming support for Hillary Clinton? Seems just an ignorant move, as ignorant move as what you're accusing them of doing. But I want to believe, I just want to believe that most of these people have just been simply misled by the mainstream media and whatnot. But it is a strategy. They do have a method where they go to the pastors, they go to the leaders, the presidents, the whatever of these organizations like these sororities. And there's been articles written about the Clinton strategy to reach out to these black sororities early on, playing up the feminism card. And now these black people are ignoring, you know, the policies that this woman helped push that has brought about not only, you know, that we talk about mass incarceration, a.k.a. modern slavery in the context of men, that dominates the topic, but women are the fast, black women in particular, are the fastest growing segment of the prison population. The fastest growing segment. Separating them from their children, just like these fathers were separated from their children. Then people like Hillary Clinton during the 90s, and she even in a recent debate used some of that same talking points she used back then, single mothers. Lazy, sitting around, not looking for a job, not doing nothing, and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, knowing that you targeting the fathers for the prison. Well, now, fast forward to 2016 from the 1990s, and black women are the number one commodity that these private prisons and these police are targeting right now. How do you justify openly supporting a candidate like that, having anything good to say about a woman with such a documented record of human rights crimes? Just very embarrassing in the very least, but we got, as media producers, have to get on our job, even as individuals. Again, I'm only talking to the very small minority of people who do engage the enemy through politics. But I've been making phone calls. God, you know, spoke 4 hours with my uncle. At the end of the conversation, I still did not convince him that Hillary Clinton is indeed a monster, because he's so focused on the Republican Party. And he's falling for these simplistic talking points, electability and free college is undoable, even though my aunt that I was speaking to last night said that through the Obama administration that and she lives in Detroit. She said one of her neighbor's daughters just wrapped up a 2-year degree at a community college free through a program through the Obama administration. So how come you can't make state-run universities already getting taxpayer money anyway, and you can't extend, you know, another 2 years at these universities? And what, everybody not going to community college, everybody ain't going to a state public university. The rich and wealthy people, they pay for their kids to go to Harvard and whatnot. And so Hillary Clinton, again, being deceptive, and my uncle believing that stuff about Donald Trump, she doesn't want to pay to send Donald Trump's kids to school. Donald Trump ain't going to send his kids to school with at a state college with a high population of non-white people, student population of non-white people. No, he'll send them to Duke University or somewhere like that, a private institution. So, again, man, the simplicity of these talking points, and there's no critical analysis and thinking, it seems, going on part of the majority of our people. But my aunt, it was a lack of information, and she told me, oh my God, I didn't know all these things about Libby. I didn't know about she was calling black kids super predators, and I didn't know, because I wasn't paying attention to politics when I was in my, how old was my Aunt Drew in the 1990s? Auntie Drew was probably in her 30s. I didn't know these things. I was so busy focusing on raising my kids and you know, working in my career, and I wasn't, you know, really watching the news or just wasn't into it like you, Scotty. But, oh my God, now that I know, you know, there's no way I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. So, you know, we got to reach out as individuals to even our own family members. It ain't about supporting Bernie Sanders. It's not even about the Republicans. It is stopping a known criminal, a monster, a woman who her entire life has supported anti-human being policies, especially through foreign policy and domestically. It's about stopping her from getting anywhere close to the presidency. I wouldn't even want her as vice president, because that president would be dead. If President Obama had picked Hillary Clinton as his vice president, I would guarantee you that it's a strong likelihood that President Obama would have been assassinated within his first term, and she would have took over and then run as the incumbent. This is how vicious the Clintons are. And all of it is not so-called conspiracy theories about the bodies left in the wake of scandals connected to the Clintons. All of this is not just Republican, contrived conspiracy theories. No. It is not. So, just got to keep educating people. When I come back, I do want to close things up. And as I stated, y'all can check out the article. This guy by the name of, he's the email staffer. Well, he was actually working for the Justice Department. His name is, what is this guy's name? They didn't put his name here, and I don't recall it. But the Justice Department has granted immunity to the former State Department staffer who worked on Hillary Clinton's private email server as part of a criminal investigation into the possible mishandling of classified information, according to a senior law enforcement official. The official said the FBI has secured the cooperation of, here's his name, of Brian Pagliano, who worked on Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign before setting up the server in her New York home in 2009. Now, you ain't never heard of this happening with Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell. Just because they may have, whether it was right or wrong, for them to use a Yahoo or Gmail or unsecure, what they call an unsecure email account, which that ain't even accurate, because Gmail and Yahoo and all of them, they do encrypt. Have security, so they're not unsecure. It's just not as strong as what the State Department or the U.S. government would require. But that is a whole lot different than setting up a server. All that is, people, for the technically uninformed, is, let's just say, buying a desktop computer, because you can turn a desktop computer into a server. You install nothing on this computer, on this hard drive, but an email software program. All right, that's all, and you connected to the internet and all that. That's all you running. That's what we're talking about here. Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice did not set up an email in their home, and then give some weak excuse about, oh, I needed two different devices, and this was my personal email. And come on, y'all. You have access to the internet on a government-issue BlackBerry. You can access any personal email from that. But see, we fall for this. I'm like, where are the critical thinkers? This woman is just, and her campaign is just straight up lying. And so, you know, this is a shoe that has dropped. And depending upon what this man tells, you know, provided that he doesn't have a mysterious heart attack or chokes on, you know, some chicken or something like that, you know, depending upon the information that he gives, man. Her, not only Hillary Clinton, but her staff, her closest advisors, and possibly even Bill Clinton through the Clinton Foundation, could be facing criminal charges. You want to talk to me about somebody not being electable? And then when we look at Donald Trump, who makes some openly racist comments, talks about building walls, that the only thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to dig a tunnel under it, and that kind of ridiculous xenophobic types, non-solutions to problems. I mean, El Chapo Guzman's an expert in tunnel building and, you know, right from under prisons to get out. And they already run up plenty of tunnels being used for human trafficking. I mean, that was just a joke last night with the Republican. But they did say a lot of interesting things through that debate. So, but Hillary Clinton is a criminal. I hope she gets indicted. I hope that the people of the world, not just here in America and not just black people, but I hope people all over the planet are saved from this monster, because we see every time she gets some position of power in U.S. government, people all over the planet suffer and even die. So, you know, this is a fight. This is a real fight. Because you can not vote if you want to and say that voting don't matter and all that kind of stuff. That's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. But I tell you what does matter. The legislation, the policies, the laws that they're going to pass, that they then going to use the police and the military to enforce on you. And the only way to possibly prevent that from happening or to delay it while people prepare, and we inform people about it, is to engage the enemy through the People Activity Area of politics. So certainly what Black Lives Matter doing and other, you know, people and politicians who like Cynthia McKinney and other parties who try to stand for justice. What you're doing is much needed. It is much needed because I believe, you know, if people weren't paying attention, they would pass some kind of directive to really go round up people and just put them in a straight up slavery. No trial. No. Oh, that's already happening, ain't it? See? How do they do that? Through politics. So whether you vote or not, you better be informed about what politicians are talking about and what they're proposing and what they're enacting, because it will have an impact on you, especially if you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We'll talk about this last story involving domestic terrorism and white supremacist groups being protected by the U.S. government, by the state governments, and by society in general, and not treated in the same manner as you would treat a person who has converted to Islam, regardless of their racial classification. How you treat them, and you charge them immediately with providing material support for what you say is First Amendment speech. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay tuned to Black Talk Radio News.
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to prove.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar.
We've got to strengthen Black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the banks downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven Black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a greater economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We've got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting Black business, but the Black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
The Black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set. Be black, buy black, think black, and all of them are
American Negro collectively is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is
I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
My name is Professor X, the Overseer, and what you're about to witness is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the Black existence, we step to you in Blackness. By the way, exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green
words of the brother.
Letters to words, words to phrases, to paragraphs. Speed masters, J begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scrolls, state to the verses. God's the God, so God's the man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from my hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to lead the army team? For the father never pause, there simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in the instant. Living to die, and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time too shorter. Forever radiant awareness, voice for the one. Open eye, strong sun. Patterns and priests standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to leave. Roll the road.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And the last story that I would share with you today before we log out, as we close out this Friday, hope that y'all are taking precautions as you make your plans for this weekend. As we know, a lot of things happen over the weekend. A lot of people get killed. A lot of people get involved in accidents because of people using alcohol. So just be safe with your plans. Again, always got to have that battlefield awareness, head on a swivel and whatnot. But this last story I want to talk to you, it comes to you from OCWeekly.com. It seems to be, I'm not sure, but it seems to be like maybe a heavy metal site, or maybe I'm misreading that. No, this isn't the same article. I'm thinking about an article I was reading before from a heavy metal site that was reporting on this same story. But this is a story that comes to you from OCWeekly.com. The Antifa, and that's some kind of acronym for something, but I think it's anti-fascist something. KKK, Antifa KKK fighters draw worldwide support, become internet folk heroes. And of course, as I stated at the beginning of the program, in Anaheim, California, in Pearson Park, the community of Pearson Park, you had these white terrorists who were given some kind of permit by the city to go out there and engage in terrorist recruiting activity. This is all out in the open. These are terrorists, people. All right. Just think about this. Just think of some ISIL people, some people who are Muslim, white, black, whatever, because white Muslims have been arrested too in the United States. A young boy not long ago here in North Carolina, a white boy, had become Muslim, and they're saying that he was providing material support for ISIL and whatnot, these terrorist organizations. Now imagine a bunch of these people go to City Hall and ask for a permit to do a demonstration where they're going to express support for ISIL and tell everyone how the mainstream media is lying and they're not really terrorists, and that those videos have been doctored and those are CIA creations and movie productions of people getting their head cut off, but they're not really dead. And, you know, just imagine if some people in the United States went to a clerk to get a permit for it. Do you think it would be granted? No, they would call the police on them and them people would be arrested. But yet, white supremacist terrorists with plus what, 150 year history of terrorizing black and non-white people, using violence, lynching, shootings, murders, burnings, mayhem, looting, and they're not terrorists. They are terrorists. They are most certainly terrorists. And again, like I wrote in an article that these white supremacists certainly came after me for when I said that published that photo of that woman, black woman, in her hijab going to her mosque in Texas, walking down the street. And then this terrorist, this white male following her with a AR-15 assault rifle, got a bandana across his face like a mask, and following her like he's stalking her. She wasn't even aware that this dude was behind her. Again, that battlefield awareness. And trying to prevent yourself from becoming a casualty. But I pointed out that, you know, where are the people, where is security for the members of the mob? If I was to come across just in a car, just riding down the street, and I got my legally owned firearm, and I saw this black woman being stalked by this white male in a mask with an automatic weapon, I have to stop my weapon and assume that this man is about to kill this woman, and I must act to save her life under the Sting Your Ground laws of Texas or any of these other states that have it. I'm defending the public. Why do we accept their reality and telling us these aren't terrorists? They're just practicing their First Amendment speech, and they have a right to express hatred. They have a right to call for the U.S. government to be overthrown. They have a right to demonize Mexicans and Hispanics and call for harm to come to them. They have a right to do these things, you know, long as they're just talking. Do you think that that would be, those rights would be extended to any American citizen that supports ISIL or Al-Qaeda, or you name any group the State Department has designated as a terrorist group? No. Why do we accept this then? We buy into it. We accept it. We are not demanding Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Ben Carr, anybody. We are your local sheriff, your local mayor, your local city council. You are not demanding them that you protect them from this these terrorists and devote resources to stamping them out and destroying these terrorist cells before they strike. It's what we are accepting, and the media is controlling our minds and telling us these things. Oh, this is protected speech. It indeed is not. It's just that the U.S. government, the state governments, the local governments aren't enforcing the law equally. ISIL supporters in the United States do not have equal protection under the law as KKK supporters. I'm not even going to read the rest of this article. But I do believe I shared it on the other one on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page, because they have started a GoFundMe for the bail money, because when these heavy metal dudes, some of them black, some of them white, got into a fight with these Klan terrorists, this was a physical fight and whatnot, and now they've been arrested for attacking the terrorists. For wanting to keep America safe. They are being prosecuted by the county government in Anaheim, California, for standing up to terrorism. Damn it, they should be getting a reward. This is what is going on right in front of our faces, and you know, we just accept whatever source of the propaganda tells us to accept. There's nothing wrong with terrorists getting permits and using their terrorist symbolism with their flags and whatnot and being permitted to go on public property and spread their terrorist propaganda and recruit people to become terrorists like them. Better change your perception and look at the reality of the situation instead of the false reality that they are painting for you through the television, through news media articles, through cartoons, through political ads, through just straight up lies and other assorted BS. So that's the last thing I wanted to share with you. Tando Radio Show will be coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Race Treaty Radio will be on at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, followed by The Lotus Place at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So you got pretty much about 8 hours of broadcasting live broadcasting here today on Black Talk Radio Network. Make sure you tell a friend, share the TuneIn app for Black Talk Radio Station with your friends and family. You can pull us up in these vehicles that are internet radio and have these different apps. You can connect to us as people do. Connect to us through those apps and whatnot. Apps for your tablet, apps for your smartphone. Of course, you go straight to blacktalkradionetwork.com, which it does adapt to, the website does adapt to fit whatever device you're viewing through. You're viewing the website with, I should say. And it adapts and you can tune in. So share it with everyone, man, because we have to educate our people and provide them with the right information. And we have to decode this propaganda and explain to them how they're being lied to and point them in the correct direction and encourage them to seek out the truth themselves and not just accept my word for it, even though I'm providing you with sources and documentation. But, you know, go down that path on your own, because then you'll be able to make a more convincing argument to whoever you're trying to convince that a person like a Hillary Clinton deserves to be in a jail cell as opposed to becoming the next CEO of USA Inc. All right. Peace and blessings to all. Stay safe out there. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. And if you don't want to become a casualty, to decrease that likelihood, develop battlefield skill and awareness. Peace and blessings.
This is Monroe, North Carolina. The town where local NAACP president Robert Williams created headlines when he said, "Sometimes violence must be met with violence." Many asked why.
You know, we do whatever we do to survive.
Right? Drop it!
Some of the people who had thought that it would be better to settle these cases violently, I had been able to persuade them that we should use the courts and go into the courts. So this thing had boomerang, and I was being held responsible for having brought these cases to court. There was a trial where a Negro maid had been kicked down a flight of stairs by a white man, and that this man hadn't even bothered to come to his own trial, and that he had also been acquitted. And there was a demonstration as a result of this in a courtroom by the Negro women of the community. And they had approached me and had said, "Well, you said that you would see that these people would be punished because through the organization we would have competent counsel. And that if it hadn't been for you, that these people would have been punished." And they wanted to know what I would recommend that they do from then on. And so I recommended that they meet violence with violence, that Negroes must be prepared to repulse attack, that they must be willing to fight, that they must be willing to die and to kill if necessary, that there was no law, there no 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution of equal protection in the South, and that therefore they didn't have any deterrent, so they would have to create the deterrent force themselves by meeting violence with violence.